Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." I want you to get that. I want you to look at that before you close your Bibles here in a moment and forget. That was the Lord speaking. And God told Moses, "Get out of the way. I'm going to consume this congregation as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Besides them that died about the matter of Korah, which was the day before. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 46, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar." I want to preach to you tonight, if the Lord will help me, on a bowl full of fire. Amen. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to be in your house. We thank you, O God, that you're here among us tonight. And you have assembled us together from various places, Lord. A variety of churches. You know the need of everyone. Lord, and we pray that by the Holy Ghost, you would move in the remainder of this service. I ask for your anointing upon my lips and upon our ears, that we might hear what the Spirit would say to the church tonight. And we'll give you the glory and the honor, Lord, for whatever it is that you do among us. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as you might have sensed as we were reading through these scriptures, this is a very serious story. It is a very serious chapter, and we've only read just the last 9 verses of it. But earlier in this chapter, this same chapter, it tells the frightening story of God dealing with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families because of a serious rebellion that they had started in the congregation of Israel. So this chapter is much about God's response to rebellion. And it is a serious response because it is a serious offense. Amen. I said it is a serious response because it is a serious offense. Amen. Rebellion is as witchcraft. And there was a great rebellion that was rising up in the people of Israel. And it started with a man by the name of Korah, a couple of others, Dathan, Abiram, I've already mentioned. And apparently, they wanted to seize control of the congregation. They weren't satisfied with Moses' leadership. And so they were trying to wrestle the authority, the position of Moses, away from Moses and set themselves up as the leaders. They also were aspiring to take over the priesthood. Moses, in his gentle pleading with them, you might read in the earlier part of this chapter, he speaks to them and says, "Isn't it enough that God has allowed you to be his servants in the house of the Lord? Isn't that enough that God has chosen you and your people to serve in His house, which God did choose them? But it wasn't enough. Pride got a hold of them. Arrogance and rebellion was driving them on. It's a horrible thing. You might remember the outcome of it. Moses said, "All right then, if it's going to come to this, you think that I'm not the servant of the Lord and that you are. You think that you're the holy ones and I'm not. So we're going to have a test tomorrow. Everybody gather together at such and such a place at a time." And Moses announced to the people and said, "If these men just die an ordinary death, then I'm not a man of God. But if God do a new thing and cause the earth to swallow them up, then you'll know that God has sent me." Now, I'm paraphrasing and shortening it, but you remember that that's exactly what happened. Suddenly, in the midst of that group of people, and an earthquake happened, but it was a precision earthquake. It was defined and it was limited by the hand of God to swallow up only the offenders that day. I mean, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. It really was a miracle of judgment. Nonetheless, it was a miracle. So when we read here, we picked up our reading in verse number 41. On the morrow, the very next day, right after they had seen that, the children of Israel gather together in a congregation and listen to what they say to Moses and Aaron. "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Oh my. I tell you what. They totally missed the miraculous power of God. They totally misunderstood the judgments of God. And they have made the mistake that so many are making in our day by calling good evil and evil good. They looked at Moses, who God had signified just yesterday to be His anointed and chosen servant, and they've said, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Amen. It's a terrible blindness that has fallen upon them. And I'm going to tell you, rebellion is a horrible and dark force. Now, let me pause here for just a moment. In case that you only see this message having to do with rebellion, I need to preach this part of it in order to appreciate the second part. But this chapter is not only about rebellion. This chapter is about revival. This chapter is about a move of God. This chapter is about hope and help. And that's what I want to get to in just a few minutes. I hope that you'll stay with me and help me while I preach for just a little while. Amen. So back to the story of their rebellion. And they begin to accuse Moses of killing the people of the Lord. They missed it. They just did not appreciate and understand the workings of God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, friends, as we've said in our opening comments, that rebellion is still a serious offense against God. Amen. Rebellion is a horrible attitude in the heart of a man, a woman, young man, young woman. Amen. Against the things of God. Not to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior is rebellion. To continue on in your sin when you know that it is wrong is rebellion. Not to do what God has instructed you to do is rebellion. Amen. We're going to be held accountable for that rebellion. And we see here, amen, that it's a serious offense and it will bring a serious response. I don't know that He will deal with you tonight, tomorrow, next week, or next month. But hell itself will be response enough for the rebellious. And I recommend that you examine your heart tonight and see what your relationship with Him is and how you've been responding to the preaching of the gospel, not just in this revival, but week after week by your various pastors here tonight. You've hardened your heart and stiffened your neck. You've refused to serve the Lord. Amen. In the capacity that you know you should serve Him. That rebellion is a serious offense. Oh, how we need revival. We're seeing a wave of rebellion sweep across America. We're seeing a wave, amen, of people who have somehow or another put their heels in the ground, defied everything that we know is the foundational truth and faith of our fathers, and fight full headlong against it. Amen. Rebellion is going to bring the judgment of God. It is bringing the judgment of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us tonight. Amen. We certainly see all around about us the signs of rebellion as people do whatever they want to do, regardless of what anybody thinks about it, regardless of what anybody says about it, no matter what God thinks about it. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Amen. We've never seen a day quite like today. It's a frightening thing to see as people throw off all of the norms and act in ways that are not only against the Bible, but against nature. Amen. Rebellion. Out and out rebellion. We see, amen, in their behaviors, the way they dress, the way they act, the way they look, the piercings all over their body, the tattoos all over them. Amen. There's an utter rebellion that's rising in our nation. I guess you could say, now let me just slow down here for a minute and tell you that some would say, well, there's always been tattoos, and I guess there has, or we have seen military men come back with mom tattooed on his arm, or a girlfriend's name, or a little heart there, and we could argue the case against that. But I'm telling you what I'm seeing in the neck of the country where I'm from. Amen. I see full arm art of tattoos displaying hideous faces of screaming demons. I'm seeing tattoos all around the neck of barbed wire. Amen. Something is happening in our society. Amen. We were in Kentucky weekend before last, and I think it was Brother Tolliver that somebody had sent him a picture on his iPhone of a boy that had some piercings, and I had seen those piercings where they cut out a big hole in their ear, and they put a ring in it. You can see right through their whole earlobe. Anybody else ever seen that? Okay, a few of you have, and it's kind of a real eye catcher there, but this picture was of a young man that not only had those in both of his ears, but he also had those in his nostrils, and you could see straight through his nose. And then he had all of those rings all, in his lips and in his tongue and all around. And I'm just asking myself, what is going on in our society? Amen. I've been trying to preach it to you this week. I believe that we are seeing, amen, a shift in the paradigm of our culture. We are seeing a shift in the paradigm of America. We see a nation that is shaking off, amen, the tenets of the past. They don't want anything to do with this religion called Christianity. And by the way, I'm not trying to offend anybody here tonight. I'm just trying to preach to you what I feel in my heart. Amen. And we have seen in the news reports just the last several days the uprisings of the Islamists and all the time the commentators speak of it as a peaceable religion. Amen. They're a peaceable religion, but us gathered here on this Friday night worshiping the Lord, we're the haters from the past, and somehow or another they don't want anything to do with us. There's something wrong with the picture that's going on. You hear what I'm saying tonight? And we say or do anything, and their reaction is, you have killed the people of the Lord. What? Amen. We need revival, friends. We need a move of God. Hallelujah. I said we need a move of God. We need a revival. Amen. I feel like what we're doing here tonight on this Friday night is significant. I believe our gathering together on this Friday night, it's not just something that we've always done as Pentecostal people. It's important for you to be here tonight. It's not because I'm preaching here tonight. It's important for you to be in the house of the Lord, for us to unify our efforts and come together at such a time as this. Amen. We need to have revival, friends. We need to be seeking God for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I hope that it happens here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to this picture. Now here's this congregation of people. God yesterday killed 250 men that were falsely involved in Levitical priesthood practices. And besides them, Korah and Dathan and Abiram and all their families perished, and so hundreds died yesterday. But today the whole congregation comes up in a flash mob, so to speak, and they're all riled up and they're all protesting against Moses and against Aaron. And you can almost hear them as they're all shaking their fist and they're hollering out, "You have killed the people of the Lord." They want justice. They want revenge. And they want blood. And they want Moses and Aaron to pay for it. It's an ugly scene. And then all of a sudden, the Scripture says, amen, the cloud of God comes down from heaven. The very Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God comes down from heaven. The Bible says that. The cloud of God, the glory of the Lord was there. Amen. And God comes down upon the tabernacle. I don't know exactly how the situation was laid out, so if you have it different in your mind, that's all right. But in my imagination tonight, I'm going to just kind of be referring to you as the congregation. And I'm going to put the tabernacle up there behind me. Amen. And the glory of the Lord coming down on the tabernacle. All right. So please don't be offended at me here. Let's just try to paint the picture, because I think that this is pretty amazing. Amen. God comes down in a cloud, and His voice comes out of the cloud. And God says to Moses, "Get out of the way, Moses." Amen. "Get out of the congregation, Moses." In other words, I'm giving you and Aaron a chance right now to move, because I'm about to destroy this people in a moment. I'm going to consume them as in a moment. That sounds like God's wrath has come down upon the situation. Amen. That God has been pushed to His limits of mercy and grace. And He has the right to do that, my friend. I'm glad to report to you tonight that God is a loving and a long-suffering God. Amen. He's a long-suffering God. Yes, He is. Amen. He has heard these people murmur and complain day after day. They have complained about this and criticized that. Amen. They have already made their golden calf. They have tempted the Lord in so many ways. And yet God has given them chance after chance after chance after chance. The mercy of God. Oh, it's an enduring mercy. I'm glad for the long-suffering kindness of a loving God. We need to understand that, because some people think that God is just sitting on go, ready to just swat somebody off their seat for misbehaving. The reality is that many of us should have been slapped upside the head a long time ago. But God in His mercy has given us another chance. He's given us another chance, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But this time, this is it. Amen. He's upset. The anger of His righteousness is being kindled against their unrighteousness and their rebellion. And He says, "Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to consume them as in a moment." Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It's a desperate moment. It's a desperate situation. I wish that I knew how to preach. I wish that I could convey it to you and to others. Amen. That I really believe that we may be quickly approaching a moment just like that. If we're not there already, my friend, I feel like the nations of this world have defied Almighty God to the point where judgment is just about to come. Amen. Judgment is just about to come. Oh, but He's a merciful God. We might wake up tomorrow and have another day. We might all still be here next week and next year. I don't know that. But I've got a feeling in my heart, amen, that judgment is not far away. Amen. I'm glad tonight to tell you that Moses and Aaron were members of a unique club that I call the 4-H Club. Amen. I'm trying to be a member of the 4-H Club myself. And I hope that many of you are striving to be good members of what I call the 4-H Club tonight. And obviously, I'm not talking about that agricultural club that teenagers join in high school, you know, to learn about farming and stuff like that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I believe, amen, that there is the possibility that members of the 4-H Club could change the situation. Amen. But I need to explain what I mean by the 4-H Club, don't I? Hallelujah. It comes from a promise in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. And some of you can quote it. You've heard it. Amen. But it's a promise from God to the people of Israel. And I think, amen, that it very possibly could be a promise for us to lay hold of tonight. If my people, which are called by my name, God says, amen. If my people, which are called by my name, amen, will humble themselves, praise God. First H in the 4-H Club, amen. Humility, if we will humble ourselves. Hallelujah. I don't know that this promise requires the entire nation to humble themselves. That would be wonderful. But we have an example here tonight that two men humble themselves and change the whole situation. The Bible says that Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces before God. Amen. The people are about to be judged. God says, Moses, get out of the way. But instead, Moses and Aaron fall down on their faces before the tabernacle of God. And they humble themselves before the Lord. Amen. We need to get back to the practice of humility. We need to get back to the practice of humbleness. Pride and arrogance is eating us up, folks. It's eating us alive. Pride, amen, goes before a fall. Amen. And I want to tell you that humility is displayed in a variety of ways. Yes, amen, it has to do with the way that we dress. Yes, it has to do with our activities and our actions. Amen. But I think that most often humility has to do with our attitude. Amen. Our attitude, the way that we treat one another, the way that we think of one another. Remember now, these people have been part of an uprising. They're trying to put Moses down and bring themselves up. Amen. That's not humility, my friend. Praise God. God help us tonight. Amen. The first church I pastored was over in Western Kentucky. As we drove around today, we saw that there were a lot of farms around here growing tobacco, and we pastored our first church over in the tobacco country of Western Kentucky, and so there were a lot of farmers all around me, and I was a young preacher, and most days, at least a couple of days a week, I'd go down to Willie's Garage where everybody seemed to hang out and drink their morning coffee and catch up on the latest. And, you know, and I was trying to get into the community and invite people to church. And I'd go down there. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you imagine pride as being a man in a three-piece suit all dressed up there in, you know, New York City or something. But I saw pride and arrogance, amen, of the worst sort, amen, in men dressed in bib overalls with a great big wad of rolled up money in their pocket from their tobacco farming. Amen. And the pride and arrogant attitude of those men, I'm telling you, it is an attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. It's time for us to get humble before God. It's time for us to fall on our faces again. It's time for us to cry out to God. Remind ourselves that we're nothing and He's everything. We need Him. I can't make it another day without Him. I can't preach another message without Him. Amen. We can't sing another song. We're nothing without Him. We need the help of Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. Humility, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. And then I lump the next sentence together. Pray and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. The second H is hunger. Amen. Praise God. Hunger. A hunger for God. Pray and seek my face. If my people will get hungry for me, if my people will get hungry for God. Hallelujah. It is not enough just to come to church. I'm glad, amen, you drove so many miles and some of you have been here every night. That's great. But can I tell you that you don't earn points in heaven just for sitting on a padded church pew? We need to get hungry for God. Amen. We need to pray and seek after God. We've got to press on in there. Amen. In this illustration I'm using from the Old Testament, Moses looks over at Aaron. They're both on their faces. And Moses says to Aaron, Aaron, get up and go quickly. Go quickly. Amen. And get fire in your censer. Amen. I'm coming back to that. But let me tell you, for him to do that, that means he's got to go into the tabernacle where the fire is burning on the altar and where the cloud of God is. And Moses says, go quickly. Amen. Not run away, but run into the presence of God. Run. Go quickly into the presence of God. Amen. Oh, to pray and seek his face. Hallelujah. This is not a time for you to be going out of church. This is not a time for you to be giving up on Sunday school. This is not a time for you to be letting up. It's not a time for you to be compromising. It's not a time for you to be going back. It's time for you to run and go quickly into the presence of God. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. If my people will... which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Amen. Turn from their wicked way. I'm talking about the 4-H club. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Humility. Amen. Hunger for God. Holiness. Amen. Praise God. Holiness. Turn from their wicked way. Turn from their wicked way. We've got to give up sin. We've got to, amen, we've got to be a separate people unto the Lord. We've got to get back to, amen, putting a top priority on living for Him and not for the approval of this world. To make sure, amen, that the creed of our heart is to be holy because He is holy. Amen. To live for Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Amen. To give up everything and anything that comes between us and Him. Every entertainment, any music, every book, every literature. Amen. Every conversation. Come on now. Amen. Any clothing, anything. Amen. That is not like Him. It's time for us to put back the stamp of holiness on the heart of one that wants revival. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then the 4-H club I'm telling you about tonight. I shouldn't maybe use the word club. That sounds like it's a clique or something. Let me tell you something. Amen. I've seen some cliques. We've got to think bigger than our little clique. Amen. We've got to understand that this is the plan of God. And can I just tell you that in this particular instance, this is not about Moses and Aaron. Amen. Moses and Aaron, they're the 4-H'ers. That's the one I'm talking about tonight. But this is not just about them. It's about this crowd that's about to perish under the judgment of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't mean to imply that it's some kind of clique, and I don't mean to imply that it's some sort of secret society. I don't think a Christian ought to be a member of a secret society. Amen. All of those hidden things and suspicious things going on and pledges and oaths being made behind closed doors. I can't see how that would fit in, amen, with the life of a Christian. I think we need to make it clear that holiness Christians, amen, do not link up with secret societies. Oh my. Oh my. Praise God. And the 4th H, hope. 4-H'ers have hope. Amen. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. hope, amen, that our praying and our seeking God and our turning from our wickedness and our humbling ourselves might just change things. That our life, our living for Jesus, our living for God, our sacrifices of the world, our times of prayer and fasting, it might just change something, amen, before it's too late. Hallelujah. I almost feel you fasten your seatbelts on that one. And let me tell you, there's no reason for me to even be here tonight as an evangelist if we don't have the hope of revival. Amen. Amen. We might as well lock the doors and be that clique that I just preached against if we don't have the hope of revival. What does it matter, amen, if we don't have hope that it's going to produce any fruit? I think we need to hold on to hope, friends. We need to realize that we are the light of the world. We are a city that's set on a hill. That until that trumpet sounds, we are here for a reason. Until He calls us out of this world, we've got a work to do. We've got a job. We've got people to reach. Amen. We don't know. We don't know what's about to happen. We think we do. But Brother Kyle, it might just be we're on the verge of a breakthrough mighty revival. I tell you, I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. I'd like to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Amen. Praise God, 4-H'ers have hope, praise God. Amen. They fall on their face and they live for God and they hunger for God because we believe that there's a possibility that that straying son, amen, just might, amen, get saved. That backslidden granddaughter, she just might turn around and come back to the Lord, praise God. Amen. Those people that have fallen out, they might just come back and get right with God again. Is that far-fetched or do you have hope tonight? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Moses and Aaron. Now, they're elderly men at this point. They're elderly men. And they're down on their faces before God. Interceding. Amen. Interceding. Between a holy God and a wicked world. Amen. And Moses says, Aaron, go quickly and get some fire in the censer. Y'all help me for just a few minutes here. Hallelujah. I don't know how you see it. But I see Aaron maybe get up on wobbly knees. Maybe a little crick in his back, but he straightens up. Hey, amen. Why can't some young person do this? Hey, amen. Why can't somebody else do it? Hey, amen. Because God's not done with you yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, hey, amen, if all the young people are taking side with the rebellion and you're all that's left, you need to obey God. Or you become part of the rebellion. Amen. No, Aaron didn't think that. He's not saying that. I'm getting away with my imagination. But Aaron, he runs on up, gets into the tabernacle, and he goes to looking around for a censer. Amen. And he finds the table where the tongs are. Amen. Now, the Bible says that they were golden, okay? It's the best I could come up with tonight. So he gets his golden censer, which is a bowl of some kind. And he goes over to the altar, and he reaches into the burning fire that's on the altar, and he begins to pluck coals from off the altar. That's why the fire is supposed to ever be burning on the altar. You never know when you're going to need it. Keep putting fuel on it. Keep that fire burning on the altar. Did I lose you because I brought out this little tin pan here? I'm telling you, friends, amen, we need to get a bowl full of fire. We need to get a bowl full of fire. Amen. Fire is significant. It's always been symbolic all through the Bible. Amen. God said, let the fire ever be burning on the altar. That's God's idea. Amen. It's not a coincidence that on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were in that upper room and they were praying, suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Praise God. Fire is symbolic. I think, number one, fire is symbolic of purity. It's symbolic of a purging. It burns out the dross. Amen. This people needs the fire. Amen. We've got to have a purifying revival. We've got to have a raising of the consciousness of the holiness of God. Amen. In the reality of sin and worldliness and carnality. Amen. And our consciences to be purged with fire from off of the altar. Amen. God help us tonight. Amen. Praise God, fire symbolic of purity, amen, and purging, amen. And it's also symbolic of power, praise God. The power of God, the fuel, amen. Oh, how we need it tonight, praise God. And so, he fills up his censer with fire. Amen. We need the fire of God. Amen. I don't know that I've ever preached on a bowl full of fire before. I've told this story and preached on it in various ways. But, amen, I feel compelled to tell you tonight. Tell me tonight. Tell us tonight. We need to get a bowl full of fire. Amen. We need to get fire in our censer. We need to return to this altar and seek until the fire falls again. We need a burning, amen, renewal of God's presence and power in our life. Amen. We need Him. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Friends, amen. Somebody said, if you're born in the fire, you won't be satisfied with the smoke. And why is it that all I smell is smoke? Amen. Everywhere that I go. Oh, no, that's not exactly true. We have, amen, been in places where the fire is burning. So I can tell you tonight that it's not all smoke. But if it's been smoke for you, my friend, aren't you tired of it? Amen. Just a smoldering remembrances of something that happened a long time ago. Amen. The air filled with how it used to be and what we used to have. I'd like to have some real fire now. I'd like to have a move of God now. We need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Fire! Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Fire! Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We need the people of God to get on fire. We need our young people to get on fire for God. We need our children to get on fire. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I was preaching at a church here a while back, and I'd only been there a few nights and had never been there before that time, been there since. But while I was preaching, suddenly I just said to them, I said, this church is on the verge of revival. I said, I may not be the evangelist here when it happens, probably won't be, but this church is on the verge of revival. Amen. That pastor, a holiness man that you would know, amen, called me a few weeks later. Brother Mike, just wanted to tell you, somebody got saved today. Amen. Brother Mike, just wanted to tell you, somebody got saved tonight. Brother Mike, amen, we had some get the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But probably the most precious to me, because LaDonna and I work with children and youth all through the summer months, is when he called me and he said, oh, Brother Mike, tonight the fire fell among our children. Amen. He said, my little granddaughter got the Holy Ghost. I saw little children dancing in the Spirit. I saw them slain out. I saw little boys running all around. It was kids' night. Amen. I'm not just saying that they had any special service just for them. I'm saying that God visited the children. I'm not talking charismatic here. I'm talking holiness church. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to see the fire fall on our kids and on our teenagers because we need a revival of fire among us tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But Aaron, amen, it's not just for the children and the youth. Come on, Aaron. Praise God. Get fire in your censer. Amen. Go quickly and get fire and run to the people. Praise God. Amen. And Aaron did. He got fire in his censer. And that elderly man took off a running. He took off a running through the congregation. I'm not talking about a church this size. Some estimate the crowd to be somewhere up around a million. I don't know if he covered all those acres or not, but I see that he ran in and out of the people, running in and out of the people, the smell of incense coming up off of his fire. Amen. And this man of God, just coming from the altar of God, he's got fire in his censer. Praise God. He's got an experience with God. He's got fire in his bowl. Amen. Amen. I'd like to have some fiery in the bowl of my heart, praise God. I'd like to have some fire in my belly, so to speak. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd like to have the power of God working in my life. Amen. It just might make a difference. Praise God. It just might make a difference. Amen. I tell you what, they've been laughing at us anyways. Why don't we just go ahead and have church? Why don't we go ahead and praise God? Why don't we go ahead, amen, and worship Him? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to get the fire back in our worship. That's what we need. We need to get the fire back in our worship. Get on fire for God. Praise Him like He deserves to be praised. Amen. Enjoy the presence of God like He wants us to enjoy Him. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. They know us. They know what we are. Amen. It's time for us to get serious about God. And a good place to start is to get fire in our worship. Amen. Fire in our prayer life. That's the hunger that I preached about a few minutes ago. But hunger in our worship and fire in our worship as well. Amen. Hallelujah. How can you not love the Lord? How can you not praise Him? See those 10 lepers walking there? Oh, wait a minute. There's one turning around. Look at him run back here. Look at him a shouting and a dancing. Praise God. They all got healed, but one came back to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that makes us truly whole. That makes us truly whole. Amen. You might have been touched by Him. You might have had an experience by Him. You might have even had a miracle. But until you get back to fiery worship and run to Him and praise Him and thank Him for what He's done, my friend, amen, you'll never be whole. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Woo! Amen. Praise God. Wouldn't you like to have a bowl full of fire tonight? Amen. To go from this Holy Roller meeting on this Friday night and feel like something has happened to you, that there's a new, fresh experience inside you. Not some smoldering coals, amen, not some dying embers, but a hot, bright fire burning again in your bowl. Hallelujah. Now, even at his best, Aaron and Moses doing everything they could, before he could get to the people, 14,000 700 of them died. Is your Bible still open, brother, Brother Mike? They're in Numbers 16. I just wanted you to check my fact on that. I believe it was above 14,000. They died even before they could get there. Friends, they're dying right and left out there tonight. Amen. Praise God. But he ran in the midst of them with that fire in his censer and that incense of praise. Amen. That incense of worship filling and changing the atmosphere all around. And the Bible sums it up. Read it for me, Brother Mike, the last verse there, if you would. You mean God changed his mind? Oh. I don't know that I or you or many of us truly understand the power of prayer. Amen. Does prayer really change things? I know that there are some who believe so strongly in predestination, amen, that nothing can be changed. It's already predetermined, but I'm not one of them. And I would point to this as an example, and I would tell you that God said, Hezekiah, get your house in order, you're going to die. God said that to Hezekiah. Somebody raise your hand, nod your head, and let the others know that I'm telling the truth. God said, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He turned his face to the wall and cried out to God. And the same one who said, get your house in order, said, I'm going to extend your years 15 years. Amen. Extend your life 15 years. I don't think we understand the power of a prayer and a holy life and being part of this 4-H club. Amen. If we could just get humble before God. If we could just be the holy people that He wants us to be. If we could just be hungering and after Him with a burning hope in our heart, my friend, it might just be that those people you've been praying for a long time are going to show up in Sunday school soon. They're going to show up in Sunday morning church soon. Amen. And the Lord's going to begin to pull them up here to the altar. Amen. I talked to a friend of mine. Their church just went through a terrible time of struggle and there was a rebellion that was going on in it. And I'll just be quite honest with you. It was very disappointing and discouraging to me. Amen. But we prayed. And I know others were praying. And this was just recently. But this friend of mine called this week, Wednesday of this week. He said, Brother Mike, I just want to tell you. Since the last time I talked to you, our church has got in. We are in our third week of revival. We've had 20 people saved and seven filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it looked like a hopeless situation to me. But they got to praying. Amen. They got to praying and God turned that thing around. And instead of people running out, they're running in. Amen. And getting saved. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, amen. I want you to get your imaginary tongs in your hand. Praise the Lord. Come on now. I want you to imagine tonight that we're on a mission. We're here together. We've got work to do. We've got business with God. There's a lost world out there. Amen. And it looks like it's going downhill fast as I preached the other night. But oh, amen, there's a fire burning on the altar tonight. Who'd like to come and get a bowl full before you go home tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Don't give up, my friend. Don't give up. Don't you quit. Don't get discouraged. It may seem like things have gotten worse. This crowd is out of control. The judgment of God is coming. Amen. All I know to tell you is go quickly now and get some fire in your censer. Run into His presence. Run into His presence. Here I am, Lord. Apologize to Him. Ask for His forgiveness. Repent if you need to. Turn from your wicked ways. God can use you.